So, wow, that was, whew, we opened up heavy.
Yeah.
So now it's good. We got the ex-rocker, because I know you were a rocker at one time, Lynn.
Don't
tell me
you
had the peasant dress on and and barefoot and walking through the mud at Woodstock.
That's classified. Good morning. Those make me want to vote.
Never did Excellent. Look too good in a peasant dress myself.
No, you needed more hair.
I couldn't grow an afro. It was one of the most distant. That's why my head is bald now, because I just got upset.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You just shaved your head?
I couldn't grow an afro, so I just shaved my head.
Yeah, well, see, one extreme or the other.
Lynn Slonica is in the house.
Good morning.
In the house, coming in here rocking. She was coming in rocking, and we're going to rock and roll about education and voting,
yeah.
I guess. What's on your mind?
Well, let's see. It's election day, of course, something that's hard to avoid here. I thought it might be kind of interesting. We sort of get caught up in local and hyper-local stuff, maybe give people some perspective on education issues on ballots across the country.
Oh, okay.
Because unlike New York, other states vote on education. You know, they elect boards of education and education initiatives and propositions
and curriculum too. Right.
Right.
They actually.
Yeah. During a regular election, we keep those votes to May, but and it's a separate election altogether.
All right. This is going to be fun.
Yeah. So in both Washington and Georgia, they are two of 10 states that do not have charter schools. They vote on one form of charter approval or another. In Washington, they have voted, this is just a general vote on whether to allow charter schools or not. This is Washington State. Their voters, this is the fourth time since 1996 that they've been asked to approve charters, and the vote has, the proposition has gone down three times before.
Uh-huh.
So that's one that's pending. In Georgia, it's a similar situation, only it's a little more complicated. What they're being asked to vote on is an amendment to their constitution that would allow them to establish a state charter school commission. They used to have one, but the commission was struck down by their Supreme Court as unconstitutional, because their state constitution requires that education decisions be made at the local level, and they're saying that by allowing this commission, which is a state-level organization,
uh-huh.
to approve or deny charters, that's, as an alternative to local boards, that violates the constitutional
right.
requirement.
It would usurp the local people.
Exactly. So those are two big things, but only 10 states in the United States do not permit charter schools.
Ah.
Right now.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's very interesting.
It is.
Well, they might wind up being better off because we were kind of the beta testers for charter schools.
Yeah.
And now that they're seeing how they're working out, some have been catastrophes and some have been very great.
Yeah. Mm. It's mixed. Yeah. And and here in New York, you know, the charter movement has drastically changed. I even want to say within the past five to ten years, because it's become more. It used to be that charter schools were more of a grassroots effort.
Yeah.
You know, one-off schools, mm-hmm. one-of-a-kind schools. Now you're seeing, chains. For-profit.
Just started to get a little worried about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you see what's happened in New York City. But that's a whole conversation unto itself.
Yes, it is. as soon as that kind of conversation comes up, my head starts whirling around. I know it's with good intentions, but it just leads to trouble.
Right. And let's see, a couple of other things. In San Antonio, the mayor has a proposition on the ballot for a tax to fund pre-K programs in the city. In Brevard, Florida, they are asking voters to approve a 10-year, one-half-cent sales tax increase. Their sales tax would go up to 6.5% to raise funds for school buildings, buses, and technology.
Mm-hmm.
And in Miami-Dade, $1.2 billion referendum to repair old buildings and to improve technology there. That's billion with a B.
But that's because you can't wait.
It's a humongous school district.
Yeah, and if then and if they vote this down, 5 years from now they're going to need $1 trillion.
Exactly.
It's gonna happen.
Yeah, it's true. And in California, the governor's tax initiative is on the ballot, and that's one of those things that will have an educational impact. If it doesn't pass, that means that they're going to be doing major mid-year cuts in California. Mm-hmm. So, and that's a big enough state. I'm sure we will hear about that in the national news. And then a sort of a quirky, funny, little wacky story from Raleigh, North Carolina. There are three Board of Ed members, former Board of Ed members, who are running for state-level office. One is running for auditor, another is running for school superintendent, and the other one's running for state legislature. And apparently, everything blew up during this campaign when someone leaked a 2010 police report where two of the candidates were involved on some level together at some time in the past, and one accused the other of burglarizing her house.
Oh, my.
Then there were allegations of adultery. They each had different explanations for their relationships. It came out that one of them keeps $20,000 in cash in her house because she's afraid of a terrorist attack.
Oh, my.
And this is all within the context of an election. So, and
nothing like small elections, I'll tell you.
And so this is, took up numerous front page stories. let's see what the people in North Carolina decide.
Local elections bring out the oddest things.
It's true. One other little interesting fact that I never knew that I just came across. In Minnesota, it's illegal for the Board of Ed to meet on Election Day.
Oh.
Weird.
I mean, it's a good idea. I just wonder what. Never mind.
In a lot of locations, schools are closed on Election Day. I remember growing up in Pennsylvania, we always had Election Day off, and I know that's true in the city.
Election Day, especially presidential election,
yeah,
everything was closed down. It was a federal holiday.
Exactly.
And now it's a mess.
Yeah. But I know in New York City, it's still the case where Election Day, and that I think it stems, too, from the fact that a lot of schools are used as polling locations.
That's true, too.
In the city, especially.
In the city, that's true. We always went to a school.
Yeah. So, but it's not that way now. So it's too bad because it added to the excitement of Election Day.
Well, it meant that I didn't have to go to school.
Amen. Exactly. But speaking of New York City, in the aftermath of Sandy, the kids were off all week last week. The majority of kids went back on Monday, but there were 57 schools that were severely damaged, closed, and the kids will be relocated. Those students will not return to school until tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
But by tomorrow, everyone should be in a classroom somewhere. It's unclear how long it'll be before people can go back to their buildings.
I feel sorry for them. I would not want to have to manage that.
Oh, no, it's horrible. It's horrible. Yeah, and in the aftermath, having to supplies, books, just...
Everything.
Cleaning it. Yeah, it's just... It's hard to imagine the scale. Of course, because, you look at a place like Prattsville, which is a small community,
right,
and the level of destruction there and what it took to bring them back. And then you think about...
Can you imagine a school, what if they're in the 40,000? There's a lot of students. I forgot how many, but it's a huge number.
Yeah, huge. So a little closer to home in Hudson, there was a Board of Ed meeting last night. It wasn't a marathon length meeting as it has been in the past, but one thing that they are starting to do, which is sort of we're reverting here to way it used to be, but they will start the meeting and then they immediately go into an executive session,
and they
spent an hour behind closed doors. So you show up for a meeting at 7 o'clock. They come out, they run through their agenda to approve it, and then they immediately adjourn behind closed doors.
Why doesn't that sound fair to me? You mean the public is there?
The public is there and waits. And in the case of last night, they estimated they'd be there back there for a half hour, and they were back there for an hour. And it really is. And then later in the meeting, they go into a second executive session. And years ago, that was the practice. But there were people on the board who really persisted in moving the executive session till later in the meeting, with making the point that the public is here at 7 o'clock,
right?
And we should deal with the people's business out front first, take our votes and do our work out here, and then, you know, if we decide we want to go into executive session, simply say whether we're taking public action when we come back.
Yes,
and then
that
people
would
can
seem
leave.
Only fair.
That's right. That's right. But this is becoming almost a regular thing now.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So it's really kind of, it's very rude.
Yeah.
Yeah. But some of the personnel, I think I mentioned last time I was here that they created a new position. The dean of students position.
Okay.
This person is there to fill in for the assistant principal, who is filling
Being
in
the
for the principal.
Principal. That's right.
but they chose last night. They hired Robert LaCasse, who is a history teacher. He's probably better known around the community as the coach of the football team, the varsity football team, and also the baseball team. He's now dean of students. It's unclear what this will mean in terms of his teaching load, because, you know, the dean of students, I think, is, you know, sort of the bad cop.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy who writes everybody up, and, you know, decides who goes to detention and all of those things. Yeah, so it's hard to say. He does a lot of the he does an AP course, so he's got an academic load to carry. So who knows what that means? APPR update. Which is remember?
It's the thing that they rate teachers with.
That's
the,
right.
The thing of the thing, the whatchamacallit.
Yeah, annual performance, professional performance review.
Review, right.
Yeah, that's the thing that is
the teacher
now,
thing.
Yeah, exactly. Teacher evaluation.
Yeah.
This is a plan that each district has to come up with for evaluating their teachers. It's something new. They have a hard deadline of January 13th to have it all approved by state ed. In Hudson's case, they have their final negotiating meeting Thursday.
Okay.
And then after that, it has to be, if the plan, if they come to an agreement at that point, the plan then goes to the Hudson Teacher Association, the union's membership, for a vote. Has to be approved by the BOE, and then it goes up to state ed. And, of course, state ed now, they're estimating review and to approval, you know, best case scenario, that it's reviewed and it's okay, is 4 to 6 weeks. So they're getting pretty close to their deadline. If it, you know, it really needs to be up to state ed probably the beginning of December.
Is Hudson the only one, or are there other schools who are tiptoeing along the deadline?
They're all in the same boat. There are a couple that have already submitted their plans, and to my knowledge, they haven't heard back yet. There's Caro Durham, I think, is one of them. Oh, excuse me, Coxsackie Athens. The other one is New Lebanon Chatham, and they're all waiting.
Hmm.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a drama to be continued.
That's right. And if they don't make that deadline, they run the risk of losing their state aid. And in Hudson's case, that's about $500,000.
Ouch. Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's right. I was asking you, do you think they'd really do it? And we were kind of tossed up in the air,
exactly.
not really knowing whether they would really do it.
Yeah, you have to wonder.
Because that would hurt the students. I mean, it's... You'd right. really be punishing the students.
Well, and you have to think about it, too, from the state's perspective. That's a lot of paperwork.
Yeah.
Both in approving all of this, but then also in holding back aid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah. And the final thing that is sort of related, the chair of the budget committee said last night that at the next full Board of Ed meeting that the budget committee is going to discuss imposing a spending freeze on non-essential items.
Hmm.
But no real detail about why that might be happening.
I'm laughing because from my background, I have gone through spending freezes on non-essential items, and the devil is in the details, because what is a non-essential?
Well, not only that, but there are also hiring freezes.
Yeah.
You know, Columbia County had a hiring freeze for about 2 or 3 years, and people were constantly being hired.
Yeah, because define non-essential item.
Yeah,
that should be interesting. See if we can gather some stories about what was considered non-essential.
That's a very good idea.
Because I tell you, I went through that with the Postal Service. It was a joke.
Yeah.
Wow. Because once you make an edict like that, it's all in the minds of who's interpreting.
Well, is it a matter of how much you order?
Yeah, how much you order, and whether it's, take for instance the pins,
right?
You'd be shocked at how many pins the Postal Service gives out. And
right.
So, are they essential, or should we just tell the customers bring your own pin? You know,
wow,
it, so
that's
it's
right.
it got very, very weird.
Yeah, well, in an organization that big, yeah. In an agency that big,
and essential all depends on. Who is essential to?
It's in the eyes of the
That's right,
the holder.
Right.
Yeah. So that's about all that I have
right
now.
All right.
But I hope everybody goes out and votes.
Go out and vote, and look at our website. There was a lot of work done. Was that you did that work?
Tom Rowe did a lot of
Boy,
that work.
Boy, I'll tell you, our crack crew here did a lot of work. And there is googobs of information on our website. Every polling place is on there.
In
both counties is on there. And before I go into the hour break, I want to repeat what I said yesterday. If you're leaving to vote and you know someone in your community, especially you folks out there out my way or in the other folks in rural areas, it's not like you're in the city in Catskill or Hudson. Help somebody out. If you know somebody needs a ride to the polls, stop by their house and ask them if they need a ride. You know the demographics of our community. We have a lot of the nation's heroes, the World War II veterans, the old people. They might need some help. So think about that on your way to the polls, and take your body to the polls.
That's right. and from our end too, if anything happens today that you think that we should know about, you know, your experience
absolutely.
At the polls, if there are lines, if there are difficulties, or
absolutely.
The other end of it, too. If
yes.
everything works well, you know, you've had a good experience, give us a call. Let
right.
us know what's happening out there.
Because we're letting the community know. So if you are in, and you guys are the eyes and ears. So if you see something, absolutely. Get a hold of us and by phone or by email, correct?
Email, yeah. Our phone number, 518-828-0290.
That's all right. And in news, what is it? What they come in by email?
We could have them send it to info.
Info.
INFO at
WGXC.org. So let us know if you see anything out there that we need to let everybody else know about. And over here, we'll be keeping our eye on everything.
Right.
Thank you very much, Lynn Slonica. Hey.
Oh, you're welcome.
Got down.